And I went to the building. The building was locked, and no one was there at like 5:30 in the morning. So I went to athletics. It was across the street. I don't have a key card. I'm not with Dr. Oliver. I'm just like running around, freaking out. Like, am I going to be late? Like, all these doors are red. I'm just knocking. Anyways, an SNCGA came and opened the door. And then I worked with the baseball team for that the rest of that semester, just in the weight room, just doing wellness questionnaires and SRPE, super,
Okay.
super kind of basic. And then I was like, wait, I can like collect data that influences training that's like
Oh,
actually live.
there it is. Yep.
And then that was the moment.
There it is.
All right, Coach Mike, give me your best TSP Talking Shop podcast episode intro. Go.
Welcome to the Talking Shop podcast featuring Matt Tomitz and Michael Sullivan today from the confines of friendly apartment 222.
Our super high quality recording studio. What's the TSP tagline? Do you know?
Where stories come to life every single
Close,
day.
close. Sharing. So we're on the Talk Shop podcast, sharing stories, lessons, and experiences
Ah,
in sports performance and professional development. It kind
right.
of rolls, you know, it's a sentence, but it
No,
rolls
that's
off the
nice.
tongue well.
That's
I put you on the spot, but anyways, Coach Mike is guest hosting,
yes, sir.
and I will be the guest on my own podcast. And let's have you give them a little rundown.
Okay, well, we're gonna flip the script a little bit. So instead of obviously us interviewing someone else, and by us I mean you interviewing someone else on TSP, we want to learn a little bit more about you, Matt Tomitz. So we're gonna jump into some things that are a little more personal for you. Does that sound
Fantastic. Yeah. So
you okay with
just
that?
the idea is to share a little bit more about kind of my background, show who kind of I am and my experiences, so that the listener can kind of connect with me. And we're going to talk about my stories and experiences from undergrad and also my grad degree and thesis and all that stuff, which if you're out of college, it's still valuable because it's principles, it's concepts that are kind of universal, even though the setting is in like college and whatnot. But also, if you have a young coach, intern, whatever it may be, or you might be going back for your master's, it's valuable kind of anyway. So although the setting is in undergrad and graduate and thesis, like it's universal. So still valuable anyways. Thanks for hopping in. And that's kind of the background. So I'll let the host take us away.
So let's just roll back a little bit, right? Beginning, you went to Truman State,
The Truman State University, go Dogs.
the Truman State. You were a pitcher.
I was.
Take us just through early career formation, right? So you were an exercise science major, how you got into that, and then how that kind of started to channel a little bit toward what you want to do as a sports scientist.
Fantastic. So I'm not going to start back at T-ball as I have had a guess or two do, but I got hurt in high school, went to physical therapy. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, ah, just old people. And then I joined the athletic training club. I was like, oh, this is sports, but it's just rehab. And then I came across strength and conditioning, just like that term, I guess on like social media one day. And then I knew exercise science was a thing when I was looking for colleges. And actually, Truman ended up working out to where it had both athletic training and exercise science because I wasn't exactly sure. But I'm super fortunate that I knew what I wanted to study off the bat. And I walked on freshman year. What was that? Beginning, middle of August. 9 months later, 10 months later, I'm in the D2 College World Series. That's a crazy story in and of itself. But super fortunate, you know, like every athlete that didn't make it to the pros, which I was so close. But you know, sports was my thing. I learned training was a process and it was valuable. And then I was like, oh, wait, I can learn more about this, like the actual reasons, and I can study that and I can work with the athletes. So not a too crazy starting story, but that's how it started.
I think that's probably the vast majority of athletes is they get hurt playing their sport, and that's what opens the door to them becoming exercise science, kinesiology, athletic training, physical therapy, something of that
I'm
nature.
unique just like everyone
But
else,
just
yeah.
like everybody else.
Just like everyone listening to this podcast.
So okay, you wanted to be an exercise science major, you kind of started on that path, but that's not really the path you went down, right? You veered off a little bit into sports science. What was it that was like, okay, I actually want to apply some more analytical thought process to what you want to do?
So sports science, I actually kind of stumbled into that during my master's, but I want to take a step back because I was telling someone a story the other day about how my graduate fully paid for GA position came to be. and kind of that sequence of events. But
so you did not know that I didn't know to do a sports science.
I don't know that that was a thing
before you even went to TCU.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's a good foreshadow. We'll bring it back. But first, how TCU kind of came to be. So it was freshman orientation, and I had a decision to make. It was take the hard teacher or
this
take
is at Truman State.
This is at Truman State. This is like kinesiology or exercise science 101. First class, you know, when you're signing up for class, it was like religion, Spanish, public speaking, you know, exercise science 101 and like stats. And I had the choice to make as I was chatting with a few upperclassmen exercise science and people on my floor. And the word on the street was like, there was one hard teacher, Dr. Bird, who was my advisor. And I won't say the hard one, even though he's retired now. And I chose to take Dr. Bird. I was like, I'm here. I know what I want to study. Baseball. Like, I'm here to like learn and do all that stuff. And it's crazy how that one decision turned into so many other things. So that class went well. I liked him. I took him the next semester. And then sophomore year, when you get your advisor, did you have an advisor at your...
Yeah, but like not the one, someone I interacted with much until like my senior year. Then like just the head of my department became my guy. Basically, that's the guy I went to.
Really?
My advisor was just some schmuck.
Oh,
but yeah. Anyway,
yeah, we had like a general advisor for freshman year, and then you got like a major specific, like someone in the department.
Yeah, yeah. Ours
sophomore
was
year.
Ours was just like, hey, just go to your department, figure it out. So.
Oh, so you kind of had someone, but
yeah,
not like an official.
It wasn't. Yeah.
So I guess he was my official advisor. And then over the course of being exposed to him in class, he being exposed to me, just with, I got A's in all of his class. I had a 4.0 in my major, just
Let's
to flex.
Go.
So I got a few B's in like the gen ed classes, but I'm not salty about it. Don't worry. So he learned who I was as a student. I learned who he was as a teacher. And then he was my advisor for my internship at TC Boost.
Okay.
So that was in between my sophomore and my junior year.
Okay.
Which I thought I was ahead of the game. Most people do in between junior and senior year, which I'm super fortunate that I did do it that way. And then it was probably end of first semester, junior year. He had a son that ran track in high school, and he had advised my internship the entire summer. So he knew TC Boost, speed, I want to coach, S&C, more performance, not like pre-med. You know how exercise science, you can do a gazillion things. Like, he knew I want to do like training.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, would you want to train my son and his friend who are high school sprinters?
Interesting.
Yeah. So he was looking out for me because he was like, oh, by the way, if you do this with your grades with XYZ, if you quote unquote like present research, you get department honors. He's like, literally just train them for a semester, collect some numbers pre and post, make a little presentation. So he was looking out for me and for himself. And, you know, it was mutual all around.
Yeah.
And I remember calling my dad and saying, like, you know, junior year, second semester is my hardest semester. I'm going to be in season for baseball. I'll be applying to grad school. Like, I just, like, don't know what to do. Like it's an opportunity, but, like, I have other things that would be higher priorities. And my dad said, could you make it happen? And I said, yes, I can make it happen. And he said, you know, Dr. Bird, he wouldn't ask you just because. He's your advisor. He knows you as a student. Like, he would only do it, really, if it was only mutually beneficial kind of all around. He's like, he's not going to give this opportunity to just anyone.
Yeah.
So I said,
especially
yes.
His own son.
Yeah.
You know?
So no pressure there.
No pressure, yeah.
Super nice kid. Super nice kid for sure. And it's so crazy. Like, we had... I don't even know what brand of timing lasers, but we had like lasers for, you know, the beginning and the end. I thought that was like so complicated. Now I'm like, I didn't need sprint.
So where were you? So you were at in Truman State.
Yes. So Truman State, it had, so Kirksville is the K Vegas, Kirksville, Missouri.
K Vegas,
dude.
Shout out.
The Harvard of the Midwest, just like every other school in the Midwest. Literally, it was so funny. Someone I played baseball with, we connected to just like hit and throw and whatever. I was like, yeah, dude, I'm at Truman State, you know, Harvard of the Midwest. Not like seriously, but that's what people call it. He's like, dude, we call Miami, Ohio, the Harvard of the Midwest.
I think people actually call Miami, Ohio, the Harvard of the Midwest.
Probably.
Like the Ivy League of the Midwest.
Probably.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Kirksville, there's the high school because it's a town. If you ever have the chance to go, don't. That's what I always say. Literally, I would I can't imagine what it's like there, because my buddy, my old teammate, roommate, the closer, he's now in the athletic department there. And I'm just asking him, like, what's it like being a townie during the summer? Because he's a townie now. He can't escape it.
That's tough. That's tough, man.
So we had, and his dad was my advisor. He had keys to the department and all stuff. So when it was cold and rainy, we went inside. And we got to use the three basketball courts. We used the football field and the track at Truman, and then also at the high school. So we had, and we also, he took his son to lift in the weight room because he knew I couldn't commit too many hours. So I wrote, like, I think a 2 or 3 day week lift, 1 day speed, and then I trained one of the actual days of speed with them. Oh, and on top of that, I offered to train my teammates. So that was cool.
Did they take you up on that?
Yeah, some of them did. I ended up having like 8 or 10.
Wow.
So it was.
That's legit.
So I did a TC boost in the summer, and that fall, you know, I sent a message in our group chat, and then I sent a message to one of my friends on the softball team to send in their group chat. And just, you know, little overambitious Matt, I love when he comes out to play, was like, oh, I know all this stuff. I can, like, train. You know, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to change, like, Truman baseball and softball. We'll be so fast.
Oh, yeah.
It ended up working out. We did, like, 1 day during the week and 1 day during the weekend. And I had, you know, anywhere 6 to 10, 12 for the duration of.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was super, like, looking back, I'm super grateful that, like, people took me up on it.
Yeah, right. Just another undergrad teammate.
Yeah, literally. I was a junior. It was mostly underclassmen. Probably the juniors and seniors were like, this guy's nuts, whatever. But, like, it was still cool. It was an awesome experience. I wish I had, like, videos and stuff. I actually do have a picture. The first blog I ever made, this is a different story. Eric Cressy inspired me. I've been making content since my junior year of college.
Wow.
I made a blog. Eric Cressy inspired me. Simple sports performance. .blogspot.com. And I do have an article. I did take some pictures or videos, but.
Well, let's back up even further.
Oh, even further? Okay. Yeah. Steer the shit. You're the host.
Even further. Because you were a pitcher.
Yes.
At Truman State.
Yes.
TC Boost is a speed facility.
Yes.
Okay. Typically, right, those two things do not mix too well.
So you call me slow?
No. So what took you from, I'm a pitcher at Truman State. I want to train athletes, but here I am training as a speed coach, right? Yes. Like, obviously those two things, right, don't always align. Yes, so how did that interest you / how'd you get into that?
Yeah, so it's funny. So baseball, I was the only sport I was good at, I guess. I was a PO since junior high school, but really since like seventh grade.
That's tough, man.
I got into a slump. I used to hit four. I got into a slump and never got out of it. But it works out for the better. But there was like 7 facilities in this area, because Mike's from the same area. And I made a list of all of them. And TC Boost was actually the one I went to first. And I remember, literally, I walked in. I had my jeans, my nice shoes, my Truman baseball polo, my World Series jacket.
Oh, yeah.
My little, like, spiral notebook with, like, 7 copies of my resume. I walk in, it's Tommy and Allie just at the front desk, just, like, chilling. And I walked in, and I wasn't expecting people to be right there.
Sure.
So I was like, hey, like, I'd like to apply for an internship this summer. This is, like, Thanksgiving break of my sophomore year for the upcoming summer. And then I gave him my resume, just said hello, and I, like, went to all the other 6 facilities. Tommy called me probably in, like, January just to officially interview me, and then he said yes, and then et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't know TC Boost because back then it was really just a website.
Yeah.
And the website it's good, but, like, I didn't do my full research. All that point in time was, like, kind of a blur, but I just looked at all the places. So I didn't really know that it was speed. Like, I didn't know who Eric Cressy was yet. So I didn't know that there could be, like, a baseball facility, quote unquote. It was just, hey, it's training athletes. It's in my area. I'll be home for the summer. And super fortunate how it all worked out, where, like, TC Boost has its niche of speed, and it's now my competitive edge. And I don't think that was the pushback of my teammates, because, like, that was separate from baseball. Okay. It wasn't like a baseball connection. I was there to train and then do an internship. Like, the internship was so independent of that. But yes, it was an interesting kind of lefty specialist PO.
Yeah, speed coach.
Yeah, these guys that run like 6'7", 6'8", you know, like 2 months into being a coach. But super fortunate just that they took me up on that looking back. So I was training this kid and his friend who and I'm running D1. I'll take all the credit for that for sure.
Hey man, that's why.
I mean, someone has to take the credit. That's why. I will take the credit. So then that was the end of my junior year. And then throughout, once I decided what grad schools I was going to apply to the beginning of senior year, my advisor was in the loop the entire time because he was my main reference, et cetera, et cetera. And it got to March of my senior year. I got into Miami, the U, Springfield College, which
in,
is
in East Coast,
Massachusetts.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Where like Mike Boyle went.
Yeah, huge, huge SNC school.
Yeah, big SNC school. Small school, but big SNC.
Big SNC school, yeah.
And Cal State Fullerton.
Oh, also a phenomenal
grad
program. Yeah, Indy Open.
So I went undergrad within a long car drive, but for my master's, I was like, I'm taking advantage of just like the best.
Sure.
Because I was even more focused on like what I wanted to do.
So at the time you were applying to grad schools, you weren't applying.
Beginning of senior year.
So you were not applying to like specific GA positions. It was, let me find a grad school first.
Yes. So I didn't know like college SNC was a thing because like the people that ran the SNC at Truman were the assistant coaches. This was before this is how old I am. This was my freshman year was 2014, 15. So that was 2017, 18, my senior year. There's a new rule now where the coach running the SNC has to be certified, basically have their CSCS, and that wasn't a thing. It was so funny. When I was a senior, there was a player that became the assistant coach who hated the weight room as a player, as my teammate. And I was a coach, and he's preaching it. He's running all these workouts. I'm just like, dude, it was bad. It was bad. So some of the horror stories of just like what we had to do.
He turned around from player immediately to coach. Mm-hmm. That's weird, man.
Assistant coach.
That's so weird.
Yeah, dude, K Vegas, dude.
That's so
once you're in, you're in.
That's so odd.
So I didn't know that like college SNC was a thing, or like I didn't stop by Northwestern to apply. You know, so it's crazy. If I had figured that out and went to Northwestern, let's say, for the summer, or how different this kind of all would be.
Yeah.
So I knew that they had my idea of a graduate assistantship was help teach, more like a TA.
Okay.
That's how I thought I was going to get paid for with the Masters of Strength and Conditioning, not a Masters with the SNC GA, if that makes sense.
I got you, yeah.
And I got in all those places, but no money and no GA spot. And it was like the end of March. And my advisor saw me in the hall. And he was like, hey, meet with me tomorrow. You know, like email me a few times. So we meet the next day and he goes, do you remember Dr. King? And I had it for like one class, like my sophomore year. And I got an A. I might have fallen asleep a few times, but I still got an A. And he said, do you remember him? I said, yes. And in my mind, I was like, he went to a big purple school. And I was like, I don't want to go to K-State, dude. Like, who'd want to be in Kansas for 2 years?
So as the guy who had just gone 4 years at K-Vegas.
K-Vegas. Anyway. Well, that was for the school. Anyway. Yes, I was being picky, I guess. And then he goes, oh, Dr. King is at TCU now. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so good at baseball. He's like, I don't feel like he'd say that. So he said, Dr., because they're buddies. So Dr. King called Dr. Bird and said, hey, basically, we don't like all of the applicants that we have so far.
That's tough.
Would you want to, you know, toss someone out there?
Yeah.
Like, do you have anyone you'd recommend? And I was the first, and Dr. Bird told me that I was the first person he asked, he wanted to ask me first. So it's crazy. And then I hopped on the phone with Dr. King, Dr. Oliver, who was the director of the Sports Science Center at TCU, which is how I got into sports science. It's crazy how, like, if I had decided to take the easy teacher 4 years prior, that, like,
none of that would have happened.
Who would have known?
Yeah. Which is very interesting because that was the complete opposite decision I made in my
life. Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh, you took the easy.
It was because we had a chance to go. You could take your degree in either a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Arts. And I was a kinesiology major.
Oh, you took Bachelor of Arts?
I took a Bachelor of Arts.
Oh, homie.
And the deciding factor was you had to take a year of organic chemistry if you're going to do a Bachelor of Science.
Ooh.
And so I substituted my organic chemistry for intro to art history Italian Renaissance.
Wow.
Which I fell asleep in many a times.
Oh my gosh.
But I passed with flying
That
colors.
sounds miserable.
So that's what I did. But and now look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Look at us.
So you went to TCU.
I did.
You went to TCU. Your GA position was a sports scientist position. So that was not a though. Like that was a position that you interviewed for after you got, had the whole situation with your professor at Truman State.
Yes. So I hopped on the phone with Dr. King, basically just to connect again, kind of see what my interest and background and experience was, because the kinesiology department, this wasn't for athletics.
But you still knew, like you still didn't know a lot about what this position was.
No, I didn't. So because as with any department, there's like sub things. So Dr. King was the biomechanics guy at TCU Kines.
Okay.
And then Dr. Oliver was like the sports science guy. Dr. Jevis was athletic trainer, you know, all these people. And they each have a few GAs.
Yeah.
So learning more about, because I hadn't chatted with him since I was a sophomore, Dr. King. So knowing I wanted to train, and Dr. Bird kind of filled him in a little bit. He connected me with Dr. Oliver, chatted with him. And 2 weeks from my meeting with Dr. Bird to those phone calls, I had like a fully paid for offer with Dr. Oliver in the Sports Science Center doing sports science at TCU. So it wasn't it wasn't the athletics, it was with the kinesiology.
Okay. Well, but it's still like, that's still vague, right? Like, you know, if you go be a strength and conditioning GA, like for the most part, regardless of where you're going, like you know what that entails.
Yes.
Like sports science GA, like that's very vague.
Yes. So the Sports Science Center, like I knew it was like research E, and I knew I was going to teach and help out and kind of do all that stuff. That's what my idea of like a graduate assistantship was. So I knew it was sports science, it was training, it was data, it was kind of like all these things, but I didn't know, it was more academia sports science than applied sports science.
Okay.
So, but just to,
so what
to
is that, what does that mean?
So academia sports science, or kind of how I describe it at least, academia sports science is more like research, the super controlled studies, controlled random, like all this stuff, type it up for a publication, very like lab, very just like lab and official. And then applied sports science would be like real world, what I do right now, what I do for the TCU beach team that I got in with,
yeah,
that I did with for a few other teams when I was at TCU. So applied would be like real world in the sand, in the weight room collecting data versus like in a more of a lab. Yeah.
So you're, I know I'm learning things about you that I didn't know.
See, this is why I wanted Mike to host me, because he knows enough to be dangerous, but not.
I didn't know all this. So,
not everything.
So your experience with beach volleyball at TCU was not necessarily supposed to be a part of your GA.
We're getting there. It was not.
Very interesting. Okay, yeah. So take me through how you started at TCU as a sports science GA.
Mm-hmm.
What that looked like, and then how did you all of a sudden become a beach volleyball? Yay.
Oh, okay. So I got there like August 1st. So this would be 2018. August 1st, class didn't start for like 2 weeks, but we had this monster study with the football team, which was like fish oil, where we had to give them pills every day, placebo or regular. And they had accelerometers in their helmet for like concussions and G-force and all that stuff. So I went early to help with that. I was like, this is my, and that was the only coaching session I've ever missed / been late for, was my last one at TC Boost before going to Texas.
And they still hired you back.
And they still hired me back.
God, dude. The standards have dropped.
I know.
At TC Boost, sports performance.
Let anyone coach.
Honestly.
So I went there early. I was like, this is my master's. I'm so locked in. This is what I want to do. I'm going there early. If I can't, like, I'm just coaching part-time. So I'm helping out with that. And I knew that, actually, I ran into, her name's Alexa. She's been on the podcast twice. Me and my dad just walking around campus ran into her with the catapult kind of thing. I had no idea what that was. Mm. I just knew she worked with the SOC team. Like, I just, but it's crazy how I met her. And then she became like instrumental to the rest of my master's. She was a second year. But so it was like, help out with that. And then my Dr. Oliver, his thing was like power of like lifting, basically bar speed and cluster sets. That was like his thing, what he's known for. So doing the football thing, chatting with some of the second year students, because I don't think any of the first year students were there. Dr. Oliver gave me some responsibilities. It was like, hey, figure out like what is the state of research on cluster sets, power, rest, bar speed, all this stuff. And I'm just like sifting through like this research on GSCR and Google Scholar and all this stuff. And it literally like got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I could stay.
Oh,
like I literally had this thought in my mind, like, how do I tell everyone that I'm leaving? You know, like I'm 1 month in and I'm just like hating. This is obviously like exaggerating. Like I'm hating my life. Like this is so boring. I don't look forward to any of this. And I had Steve as my mentor at the time. So like 2 weeks before I went to Texas.
As in Breitenstein.
Yeah, Steve Breitenstein. He's been on the podcast twice. The Wizard, I call him, is now you're just trying to learn why I call him the Wizard.
We've talked about him quite a few times.
We do. We named out him all the time.
Yeah.
He's been on episode 88 and 100, I want to say.
Whoa.
100 for sure. His first one, I think, was 88. I have this weird ability to remember. You were 134 or 2, something like that.
I don't know.
More recent.
I don't know.
And I was like, hey, Steve, I want you to be my mentor. Like, over the last 3 summers, I've enjoyed our conversations and our chats. And I want you to be my mentor. And he was like, sure. Like, what do you have in mind? I'm like, I don't know.
Mentor me.
I just, like, know that having a mentor is important.
Yeah, mentor me, dude. Give me something good.
And it's funny how, like, I don't remember all of the conversations that Steve and I had, but it was just something about, like, it was very thoughtful, and I just enjoyed it. So I just asked him to be my mentor. And basically, what that meant for my 2 years in Texas was just to be like an email pen pal every week or 2 weeks, which was still super fundamental because like I was talking through this problem with my parents, but like they don't get it because they're not in the field.
Sure.
So emailing Steve, I think I tried to find the email, but I couldn't find it. And I just remember him saying like, the grass is always greener on the other side. Like, can you make it through? You know, he's like, talk to someone, but like the grass is always greener. But these thoughts of like, what am I going to do when I move home? Like, I don't want to be some like dropout, you know, like that as I move back home. But that was a pandemic. That was a pandemic. So hey. It's fine. Not to my own control. So it's fine. And it was like literally that week that Dr. Bird or Dr. Oliver at TCU said, you played college baseball, right? I said, I did. He said, how would you like to work with the TCU baseball team? And I was like, with Zach Dakin? He's like, you know who Zach is? I was like, obviously I know who Zach Dakin is. Obviously. So he's like, all right, on Monday, weight room, 6 a.m. So I'm not sleeping the whole night. I'm up at like 4:30, just ready to go. I just like walked to campus. And I went to the building. The building was locked, or the kinesiology department was locked, and no one was there at like 5:30 in the morning. So I went to athletics. It was across the street. I don't have a key card. I'm not with Dr. Oliver. I'm just like running around, freaking out. Like, am I going to be late? Like, all these doors are red. I'm just like knocking. Anyways, Dr. Oliver came, or an SNCGA came and opened the door. And then I worked with the baseball team for that the rest of that semester, just in the weight room, just doing wellness questionnaires and SRPE, super, okay. Super kind of basic. And then I was like, wait, I can like collect data that influences training that's like live.
There it is. Yep.
And then that was the moment.
There it is.
That was the moment.
Zach Dakin got you, man.
Yeah.
He was the reason you're now doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So that was my first experience of like actual. So I guess the football team, that was like a majority lab, academia, yeah. And partly live or applied. But that was my first like actual live.
Okay.
Like being in the weight room, just watching the whole session. The guys are coming up to me and I'm typing their stuff in the tablet and whatnot. But I was with the kinesiology department, not with athletics.
Yeah. So you start to see baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that for a semester.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy the data collection. You enjoy creating like actual data.
Mm-hmm.
So where does beach volleyball come into play here?
Yes. So Ariana Luther. So she was a second year when I was a first year, and she had like beach, swimming, and someone else. And she was my classmate because all of the SNCGAs were kinesiology masters. Same with the sports nutrition GAs and everything else. And I still don't know what came over me for whatever reason. It was like November. We were leaving class. I think she was just asking how it was going because she saw me in there. And I was like, oh, you know, I really like baseball, like just doing it live with the guys, being able to see everything. And I said, oh, I think I could swing two teams. Like I could probably make it happen if you wanted to just chat with the beach coaches. And I still don't know why she took me up on my offer.
Interesting.
But the next thing I know, I see her in class the next day and she's like, oh, chat with the coaches. Like me, you, Dr. Oliver, and the beach coaches are going to meet next week. And then I'm like going back to the athletics building. And I'm like in this conference room, the two beach coaches, the GA for the beach team, Ariana and Dr. Oliver, we were spitballing data ideas.
I'm assuming, as I've seen, I think the title, I haven't actually read it, but how did that turn into what was your master's thesis?
Yes. So there was like two options. There was like the thesis option and the treatise option.
Treatise.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
TREATISE.
Okay.
Which, if you have to name two things, that is like the two words, thesis and treatise option.
Yeah.
So a treatise option was basically like do a project presentation on steroids.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
As opposed to like an actual manuscript and everything. Oh, plot twist. Dr. Oliver left TCU like 2 weeks before the beach season started. So that was cool too.
Oh, right.
It's a different story. But that comes back into how that influenced my thesis. And it was cool how my thesis worked out because it was me doing sports science for the beach team. And my thesis was more observational as opposed to the other way around. So once I got in with the beach team, I was doing all the research. And to my knowledge, at the time, there was no papers on women's college beach volleyball. And there was no papers in all of beach volleyball actually validating something. There's only like four or five, but they were observational. And of course, like a heart monitor works, but there was none that said like, hey, it's valid in beach volleyball. So it was more just like a validation study. So we had, and this is my thesis. So this is why I feel more comfortable talking about it. It's out in JSCR and everything. DM me if you want it. Plug. And it was basically just running correlation between TRIMP, training impulse, heart rate load, basically distance covered in yards for external load, and then SRPE load. So the player's SRP times the duration. So we had a internal objective, that's heart rate, internal subjective SRPE load, what they perceived, and then external load. So just running correlations between those three. Shocker, the correlations were super high. So that was basically my thesis.
So just like kind of wrapping up the experience, TCU, Truman State, if you had to just give like just a small snippet of advice to someone, let's say, who is closer to finishing up their undergrad, you know, they're within that frame of exercise science, kinesiology, whatever that might be, right? They want to continue on in grad school. But like, let's say they're not positive, right? Maybe they want to be sports science. Maybe they want to be strength and conditioning, right? And that's kind of where I was too. Like, I applied to both. I applied to different like lab GAs within kinesiology. I applied to strength and conditioning GAs within kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I ended up getting a S&C GA and it worked out very, very well. But like, you know, I could have easily gone and been a lab exercise science GA somewhere, right? Like that could have happened. Like those were positions I was applying to. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really know what I wanted. Just kind of happened well, right? And it happened well for you, right? So what advice or just snippet of clarity could you give someone who's in a position of, I know this is the general field that I might want to go down, but I don't exactly know where I want to specialize in.
So really, unless you want to stay in academia and do research, it's all about what does that master's do for you after the master's. So my advice would be to go shadow and watch stuff live first. So like to me, S&C was like private business. I don't really know. It was like pro, like I guess looking back, I could have assumed that there was pro or college.
Yeah.
But I didn't know like that you could get into that somehow. So you know, I always say, what if I had done my internship at Northwestern. What if I like went and shadowed for a day? And at that point in time, I was like, eh, not for me. So before picking a graduate, if you have an idea of the degree, right? And there's a few different avenues, just like picking a major, right? Exercise science, athletic training. Well, your first semester, take intro to both, you know? So whatever jobs, because that's the end goal, whatever jobs you think could come out of a master's, go shadow those things at least for a day, and that'll help.
Yeah, just getting your eyes on that is like so important. Mm-hmm. I was a athletic training employee student worker for about a week.
Oh, now I'm learning more things about you.
Yes, I'm an undergrad, and I could not stand it. I thought it was the most boring thing I've ever done in my entire life. I was like, this is cool, like AT stuff, like, yeah, hell yeah.
How did you get into that, voluntarily?
It was like I was looking for like work in our athletic department, just like kind of help out and like hopefully make a few bucks. They're like, oh, like go check out ATs. I'm like, oh, sick. Like, I'd be sick if
work
I could
with
do that.
Athletes. Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah, dude, your first shift, go spend 6 hours sitting at softball practice.
In a golf cart, dude.
I was like, oh my God. Like, this is awful.
Oh, I thought you were going to say awesome.
No, this is awful. And I was like, I have to do that every day this week. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not. This
someone's got
to
do
no,
it.
No, I'm not doing this. And then afterwards, I have to tape their ankles. I'm not doing this.
And then, like, make the ice suck the air out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I'm actually pretty decent at that now.
Dude, so am I. So am I.
But, yeah, just, like, having that experience so cemented to me that I did not need to be an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I had that experience.
Yeah, for sure. Know? So it's, like, especially, and as I'm going through my quarter life crisis, giving advice like I'm some old guy, it's just as valuable to find out things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it might be kind of pointless. Not pointless, but, you know, spending the money on those 3 credits to take intro to whatever. But it's better to do that than, like, spend the money on the whole degree, you know? So even just accumulating things you don't want to do, like, if there's, like, 4 potential masters you would want to do, if you narrow that down to 2, you're greatly increasing your chances of, like, picking the right one.
It's fair.
So don't knock doing things just with the intention of, like, potentially knocking off your list.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not a common thought process, though.
Definitely not, because, like, the whole idea is, like, oh, basically you pick your, you know, you're some people are 7. I didn't turn 18 until, like, 1 month before Truman. It's like, I have to pick a school, I have to pick a major, I got to do all these things. I'm not even 18 yet, you know? So it's like, even with 4 years of a degree in those classes, I knew I wanted the classes, but it's like, that's so not real life. So as much real life experience as you could get, like, even if it's like, like physical therapy, I liked it as an athlete, but it was kind of slow for me. Well, that's when I was like a sophomore, junior in high school.
Yeah.
Like, if I did that as a junior in college, my lens is so different.
Yeah.
And even if I just reconfirm my thoughts, it's still valuable, as opposed to, like, could it have been physical therapy? You know?
Yeah.
So just to get as much real world experience, even if it's just like shadow for 3 hours. So
I have like one final question for you, but do you have any like closing thoughts as it pertains to just the experience, the undergraduate, graduate experience, before I ask you my last question?
Yes, it's almost like I knew what we were going to talk about. I had 4 things prepared.
Oh, wow.
So as we speak in terms of career development at TC Boost with Steve and LeaderKit, about all these things being the minimum, right? The minimum of our job is to get kids faster, make them want to come back. Everything on top of that is gravy, right? So people think going through an undergrad or a grad program, that getting good grades is good enough. It's good enough to get that piece of paper.
Yeah.
But good grades are the minimum, right? So that was the minimum of Dr. being on Dr. Bird's radar. And then it was my internship. And then it was asking him to be my references. It was saying yes when he gave me that opportunity. So it's like the good grades open the door, but you got to do like everything else on top of it. Next would be that everything's a push and a pull. So like all my stories, I did some pushing, but people pulled me in. But I can't get pulled unless I push first, you know? So, you know, super grateful for, you know, Ariana and that moment. But like, if I didn't, for whatever, I still don't remember why I did this, but I just went up to her. We were just chatting. And I just said, hey, I could make it happen if you want to chat with them. And she pulled. And she so easily could have not.
Yeah.
Probably more likely, 9 times out of 10, she would not have done that. Or hey, more than 50%.
Shout out Ariana Luther.
Dude, shout out.
University of Miami.
If anyone's listening to this and knows her, send this her way.
Yeah, shout out.
But then I pushed to take the hard teacher, right? I pushed to go to TC Boost, you know? So being okay with pushing. And of course, the ones where people pull you back are a lot more memorable than the ones that didn't. But, you know, if you have to push 20 times to get 3 to work out, is that worth it? Probably. Next is flipping a classic cliche on its head. Instead of saying, it's all about who you know, it's all about who knows you. So I could call up Dr. King and be like, oh, I know you're at TCU now. I had you for that one class my sophomore year. You know, are you guys looking for people? Or Dr. King could call Dr. Bird and said, do you know anyone? And Dr. Bird goes, Matt is my guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Bird knows me. It's not, I know Dr. King. Dr. Bird knows me. So who's willing to stick their neck out there? Who's willing to put their name with your name?
Yeah.
And not that I like took that class knowing that Dr. Bird was going to like set me up for that, but it's like, what relationships can you build and what can you do on top of good grades, for example, to make someone comfortable enough with who you are as a person and a professional to say, they're my guy. Like, that's literally the end goal. Like, I think Steve told me this. The end of TC Boost when I was an intern, the goal was if someone called up Tommy and said, hey, we're looking for a coach, for Tommy to go, I got a guy for you. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that I life change everything at TC Boost. It's not that anything kind of super exaggerated. It's Tommy to feel comfortable going, I got a guy for you, and I like believe in this guy.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all about who knows you.
That's exactly the same message that when I had my conversation with Leanne Blinn at Arizona State, it's exactly what she said. She's like, it literally, who you know is irrelevant. Nobody calls you, asks you if you want a job.
Yeah.
People call people, other people.
Yeah.
And say, do you know anybody? And they then reach out to you.
Exactly.
If they know you.
Exactly.
But it does not matter at all if you know them at
all. If you can name drop. Dude, that was the biggest challenge. And I've spoken on this a few times, whether it was on YouTube or my podcast. As I was networking, you know, COVID, moving back home, like literally, I looked up every Power 5 school and everyone that had sports science in their title, I hit them up. And I had this awesome tree of, I hit up these 3 people and then they each gave me 2 and I literally wrote it all out. And I would like name drop people if I was connecting. Oh, I just chatted with them last week or I'm chatting with them soon. Da da da. It's like I could say I know these people. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean a thing.
At all.
Unless you were actually made an imprint on them as well.
Yeah. But even if I say, oh, I know like Dr. John Wagle, he's at Notre Dame now, who's with the Royals, who I'm super grateful that I met him through that, through Kyle Voigt, who I think they've both been on twice. You know, that guy could go, hey, John, you know this guy, Matt. Like he name dropped you, he'd be like, yeah, there's a good conversation, but like I don't really know.
Yeah, right.
I don't really know him.
Can't talk for him.
You know, even if it does come full circle for them to start talking about you, he still has to go, oh yeah, that guy's legit, you know. And the last one is people can't help you if they don't know where you want to go.
That's fair.
So whether it was me asking Steve to be my mentor, or whether it was me just having Dr. Bird as my main reference, like imagine if Dr. Bird knew I was a good kid and he knew that I was looking at grad school, but he wasn't involved with my process. He wasn't involved with me writing all my references and letters and him looking over them, knowing that I wanted to do S&C. You know, so he just knew so much about me throughout the course of 4 years that like he knew exactly how to help me. So, you know, putting ego aside and being like, hey, I need help. Like, hey, I want you to be my mentor. Hey, I want this with this. But like, if they don't know that, how on earth are they going to help you?
Yeah.
So those would be like the 4 main things.
I like that. So to that last point actually wraps very well with my final question.
Oh my God. That was not planned.
That was not planned.
That was not planned.
Which is not what we were planning on talking about. So that's why I just like, this is my single final question.
For
but,
sure.
You know, people can't help you if they don't know what you want or where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, where do you actually want to be at?
Oh my gosh.
However, whatever timeline option you can choose from, but where do you want to get to? Potentially, if you have an idea when you want to get to there, and who knows, maybe you'll manifest it. So be ambitious.
Yeah, maybe. Probably in like 4.18 years.
Okay, I like that a lot.
But I think, so I'm going to turn 26 in like a month. My love life, killing it. Story for a different podcast. At TC Boost, where I've always coached in a town that next to a town I grew up in. You know, I do get hung up on that story.
Yeah.
But if I had to kind of paint a picture, this is definitely not my timeline if you ask me this, or as I've recorded myself saying, you know, 2 years ago, definitely not how I could have planned it. And I know in X amount of years, I'm going to be super grateful that this is how it worked out. I know that for a fact. I think it would be cool to do, you know, speed training, working actually with athletes. Like there were a few jobs I interviewed for where it was like, just collect data.
Yeah.
And I literally asked, how many times will I be at practice and all this stuff? He's like, oh, maybe like two or three times.
A season.
a week. And I'm like, oh my, I went from like 2 to 3 hours a day,
yeah.
You know? So I definitely want to be on the floor, to use coaching lingo. So working with athletes on the floor, speed training, performance training in some aspect, not just be a weight room guy, as we've learned that it's valuable to be not just a weight room guy. Higher level athletes. So I really enjoy the college age. High school age I like as well, but I like college by the time at TCU because they were competitive. There was that school spirit. It was actually like you could actually train and get progress out of it.
Yeah.
But they're also like young adults, so they could have mature conversations, but they were also developing as adults.
Yeah.
So it was like not like I can't imagine what it's like being a pro strength coach. It's like, how do you at like 28, 29, talk with a guy who's like 30, 35 with like three kids? I'm like, hey, dude, your sleep has been awful. You know, like, figure it out. Come on, dude. Are you in it or not?
Yeah. Not that I've worked professional sports, I have not, but just like in interactions with people who have, it's just like, you know, such a collective spirit of we want to win and we all want to get better. And what you're bringing to the table, like, you better bring to the table. So if you need to tell me, like, my sleep sucks, like, you need to tell me, like, my sleep sucks. And you need to be able to, like, tell me how to create interventions. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, we want to win. We want to be a part of something bigger. So if there's something that, yeah, even if you're, like, 24, 25, and you're talking to a 35-year-old, 12-year vet, like, bring value to that person. You better bring value to that person, yeah. Or else get the hell out of the way.
You know, how do you bring value to someone who's, like, 10 years old, you know,
yeah.
5, 8, yeah. 10 years older than you. But where was I? Job, sports science.
Job, sports science, coaching on the floor.
Okay, my boxes.
Yeah.
See, what a good hook. So working with athletes on the floor, speed, higher level, you know, high school plus, probably college, and collecting data. And doing sports science. So some combination of all those things. But the setting in which that is done, I'm still trying to figure out. So my thought process the last 2 years was like, all that is set up in college. Why not go to college?
Yeah.
Versus like the private side is such an underrated platform. You have to do all the pushing to go back to the push-pull. You have to do all the pushing. It'd be so creative. You have to like earn your stripes versus like, at the end of the day, like if I got a job at Clemson and Clemson is on my LinkedIn, like that means something versus like TC what? TC Boost, you know?
Where?
Versus like the small people that like know who Tommy is.
Right.
It's very small, you know? But I think it would be cool to, when I'm actually coaching, to do all those four things. But I like growing my brand, creating content. I would consider myself a content creator. It's my creative outlet. I think everyone should have a creative outlet. And it's fortunate for me that like that overlaps with my profession because I can't put time and effort into things that like don't matter. Like my job matters. And I was like, get a hobby. I'm like, I make videos like for your job. I'm like, I make videos. But I think it would also be cool to like travel and consult. That was I loved being in season with the beach team. One weekend at home, next week in Florida. One weekend at home, next week in California. You know, like just traveling in the airport and like just seeing these different places. So like something like what Derek Hansen does.
Yeah.
So he coaches during his busy track season. He has his clinic that he gets flown around to do. And then he consults with Kansas City Chiefs and XYZ. So I think turning the private side into a consulting, traveling hub, like I really like educating coaches. My content is education-y, whether it's athletes or coaches, but mainly coaches. So if I could somehow check off all those boxes, I think that that'd be pretty neat. Great. Probably in like 4.18 years, for sure.
4.18 years. We'll catch you. We'll do round two of this interview in 4.18 years to see where we're at then.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Coach Mike, for guest hosting.
Of course.
You did a lovely job.
My pleasure. I appreciate
Maybe
you.
We'll do it again.
I appreciate you trusting me with the importance of hosting such an incredible podcast.
Well, you didn't mess it up.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank you. That was literally my only goal, was to not mess it up.
And maybe you'll start your own podcast.